podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. We're back in Genesis, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, last week I talked to you about the Rashomon effect. I told you about this movie, which was very popular back in its day. It was called The Courage Under Fire. And I explained to you that the idea of the Rashomon effect is a type of movie where you're seeing the story from the vantage point in the eyes of different people. In this particular movie, there's the story of this captain who was trying to rescue this Black Hawk that had crashed. In the rescue mission, there was a sergeant and there was a soldier and a medic and all kinds of people in this chopper. And as they were trying to rescue them, they were themselves got knocked down. In order to see whether they would qualify for the Medal of Valor, Denzel Washington, Colonel Sterling, had to investigate and try to find out whether this was a bona fide hero or not. It's a worthwhile movie. I don't usually recommend movies. This one is worth it. I had a moment of a Rashomon moment in the airport yesterday. I was walking with this gentleman. This gentleman, I bumped into him in the elevator. He turned around and said, "Pastor Joey." And I looked at him and I said, "You know how it is, you get caught when you're a pastor, and you, especially pastors who do things all over the world, you're trying to do your Rolodex in your brain, and it's not working." And so he was kind enough to extend his hand and say, "My name's Pardeep. I'm going to have a coffee with him in a few hours." And he said, "I'm a member of your church in Manila. I'm an executive. My wife is from Citibank. We've been in the country for 5 years, and we just want to thank you for bringing us back to God, because we've lost God." Interestingly, you know where they lost God? In Singapore. And you know what they said? Singapore's too busy. When we lived in Singapore, we had all the money, we had all the cars, we had all the stuff, but we lost God. And then I went to Manila, and I started going to your church. And I got God back, and I was walking with him. He's Indian, by the way. His wife, Chinese. And I was walking with him, and all of a sudden, he's talking to me, and I started to run. And he was shocked. "Why are you running?" I was running because he and I were talking and walking, and I saw this man had tripped on his cane. And he fell and smacked his face on the floor, and he was bleeding. And I saw his wife trying to pick him up. So I'm running, and Pardeep is wondering what was happening to me, and so he starts chasing me. So we've got this Rashomon movie moment at the airport yesterday. I had to take a picture of it. And I got to the lady, and she was trying to pick her up, and we picked up this man. He was bleeding. And thankfully, my father taught me to carry a handkerchief from the time I was a little boy. And I grabbed my handkerchief and put it on his face, and I started shouting and calling the guys and say, "Call a paramedic and get some ice or stop the bleeding." And nobody was moving, so I left Pardeep there, and I started running to get some ice. And I asked the wife, this is a different vantage points. And I asked the wife what happened, and the wife told me my husband tripped on his cane. Now, these other people in this story are just our pastors from India arrived, and they were walking, and they were, interestingly, all of these people were on the same flight. It would have been a movie, right? I would be rich if I were a novelist. I got to the gate, and some of the people that were in our team said, "Where'd you come from?" "Well, there was this man, and he fell." And they said, "You know what? We saw some paramedics running." It was like this Rashomon moment. And this is where we are in Genesis, the story of Hagar, the story of a woman that nobody cares about. If this were a movie, she would be the least character. And yet here we find in Genesis chapter 16 that her entire life comes alive. Because it brings up a very important question. What happens when you are treated unjustly? Which is what happened to her. What happens when you're treated unjustly by the very people who's supposed to treat you justly? These are the people of God. That's Abraham and Sarah. What happens to our world when that happens? What happens when you are the one treating people unjustly and you are supposed to be a member of God's kingdom? What does that look like? And the story unfolds and explains to us what that looks like. Genesis 16, verse 1, we read this last week. Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And there you find the introduction to Sarai and Hagar and the vantage point of these two different people that's very different from Abraham's vantage point. It says that she had no children. And the pain of that we talked about last week. And then verse 2 last week, we said that, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from having children. And the allegations of blame towards God, the accusation, the hint of, God, you haven't given me a child. And so she takes matters into her own hands. And I've got this servant, you go have sex with her, and it shall, and I can obtain my children. In other words, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to resort to the traditions of the day to get what I want. Sadly, in her impulse, we have a passive leader who basically agrees with her. Okay, let's just do it the way you want to do it. So after, and jumping in verse 3, after Abraham had lived 10 years, this idea of God just testing him, he took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to him. Let me explain something about Hagar. It's very likely, because her name is a noble concubine, that Hagar was part of the harem of the Pharaoh, not as a concubine, but as a servant. And because Sarah was at one point given by her husband to the Pharaoh, it's very possible that this woman became the servant of Sarah at that point. Are you following? We don't know exactly where she comes from, but it's very possible. And so this woman is an Egyptian, as the Bible says. And it's interesting that the person who wrote this book, Moses, was the same guy who liberated the Jews from Egypt. And yet we find the justice of God, where Moses is bringing justice to the injustice that's happening, despite the fact that he himself is a Hebrew. And he's saying the story like it is. And so this woman was given to Abraham, and the Bible says, and he went into Hagar, basically had intimate relations with her, and she conceived. And she became pregnant. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Basically, she was saying, you can't produce what you're supposed to be doing. You can't create what you're supposed to be creating. And so now I'm kind of like the bigger shadow over you. We get prideful when we are lifted in some way. And that's what happened to this story. And Sarai said to Abraham, may the wrong that you've done be on me. This is funny, okay? Abraham, up to this point, Abraham didn't even want to have anything to do with Hagar. This was all the woman's idea. And listen, women, we love you, okay? Look at your wives and say, we love you. But you know, there are times that, and I always say this to my wife. Thankfully, my wife's not here right now, so I can be a little more open. I always tell my wife, you know, the beautiful thing about women is you're a master at changing the rules. Okay? Somehow, when the rules are set, we can't change it. But when it's them, the rules can be changed. And we give that to you. So the Bible validates the fact that women change the rules. Okay? Imagine this. If Abraham did this, he would never hear the end of it. But because it was she who did it, I can get away with it. I gave you to her embrace. Abraham didn't want to embrace her. Abraham didn't want anything to do with it. It was your big idea because you wanted to take matters into your own hands because you are pressed by time thinking, I'm running out of time here. I've got to have a baby because that's the role of a mother. And the only thing I can offer is this servant of mine. If she saw that she conceived, she looked with me on with contempt. And basically she's saying, which is true, valid. She's laughing at me and calling me names. And she says this, may the Lord judge between you and me. You be careful when you ask God to judge you. You be careful when you become self-righteous and you think you're better than other people. Just because you're a Christian or you go to church. Just because you're supposed to be the chosen people of God and not an Egyptian. You be careful because God is a righteous judge. And he judges very well. You be careful to think, hey, there is a verse, I wrote a blog and Christians hated it, but people who read it loved it. I wrote a blog about this idea of these two brothers fighting in a basketball team. And I said, what was the father thinking? It was a championship game. And the father had to decide, well, I was going to decide which one. And when I interviewed the father for the blog, the father said, I was in nobody's side. And that's the same thing that God said when Joshua saw the captain of the armies of God. And he asked this guy, whose side are you on? He said, neither one. God's not on your side if you are unrighteous. Hello. Some of you didn't get that or don't want to hear that. But that's the truth. Because God is an amazing God. And He's a righteous God. And we best be on His good side. Amen? But Abraham said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. This is sad. He's in your power. Do as you please. Basically, abuse her if you want to. Sad. The very people of God who are supposed to bring comfort and love and blessing to the world are now the very people who persecute the people that were supposed to have been reached in Egypt from the lost land of Egypt. Sarai dealt harshly with her. Pray that you don't do that to people. Just because they said something bad to you. Just because you didn't get what you wanted. And she fled for that reason. Be careful how you treat small people. I used to live in a country that has predominantly 80% of the population are very poor. My kids grew up with maids and drivers and gardeners. One particular driver was driving for me while I was in Manila. He's retired now. He's left my employ. But for years, from 1989, he was a truck driver in a company that I owned. And I remember no one would hire him because he accidentally murdered somebody. And when he got out of prison, basically the only job he could get was to become an assassin. But he got born again in prison. And that man has worked for me from 1989 to about 2 years ago and still works for me whenever I'm in town in Manila. We've become good friends, very good friends. He was ex-military. He had guns. He was drunk one night and accidentally shot somebody. There were times I had to sit him down and correct him and say, Manny, you can't behave this way. And sometimes my own wife would be worried. I mean, do you know who you're correcting? I mean, do you know who you just employed? Do you know who lives in our house now? Do you know who drives for your kids? I said, listen, I either trust the truth about God's word or I don't. Is this man born again or is he not? But there will be times I would correct him. And I would sit him down and, Manny, you can't behave this way. But you know what I found? For every measure of one correction, it would be a week long of encouragement. Because when people are least in you, they don't need more correction, they need more encouragement. Sometimes we have this idea that if I beat this guy up, he's going to become better. You know what? I found the opposite. That if you treated people right, and you explained to them how good they were, and what possibilities that they can be even greater, they behave differently. Well, the story is not like that. She fled. She ran away from them, and the angel of the Lord found her in a spring by the wilderness. By the way, when they say wilderness in those times, this is not a forest where there's trees and fruits. This is barren desert. She's holding on to the spring because this is the only way. Imagine being pregnant with no food because your bully of a boss thinks she's so good for you. And what's interesting about this part of the story is it's almost like this, if this were the crown, they're taking a big, long chunk. The Bible's taking a big, long chunk of discussing this story because this is an important story. It's taking a break from Abraham and Sarah. In fact, God does not talk to Sarah first in the Bible, but talks to this girl first because God is a righteous judge. And just because you are Abraham's wife, and just because you know how to read your Bible, and just because you can quote scriptures, doesn't mean you're more important than her. Get that through your head. We can be so religious to think that just because I've been in church longer, I can behave unjustly towards others. And by the way, I'm just preaching it like it is. Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? You see, notice how God always starts with a question. We like preaching to people. God likes asking questions. That's the amazing thing about God and Jesus. Because He wants to know what's in your heart. Do you even know where you've been? And you know, basically, Hagar said, he asked two questions. He could only answer one. She could only say, you know what, I my mistress has treated me wrongly. I really don't know where I'm going. In fact, I didn't even know how to answer that question. And many times when you're dealing with small people, people less than your position, they probably don't know any better. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered. Basically, God says, I'm going to bless you. Even if Abraham and Sarah hates you, I will bless you. In fact, you'll be pregnant. This is the first time God actually talks to a person and says, you're going to be pregnant and you're going to bear a son. The prophetic thing, God speaking to this woman. I mean, imagine from Adam and Eve face to face with God, Noah was just barely face to face with God, Cain who was driven out by God, and God spending time with this woman because the Bible is trying to send a message to its readers. He's a righteous judge. He's not a religious judge. He is a righteous judge. He will judge us if we treat people wickedly. And you shall name him Ishmael because the Lord listened. That's what that name means. The Lord listens to the plight of the weak. Be careful how you treat the weak. The next half of the story, the first part of the story is be careful how you treat the weak. And the second part of the story is here's how you respond when you are weak and somebody unjustly treats you. So the Bible always talks about both sides of the equation because God is neither on each side. He's on the side of the one who chooses to obey him and operate in faith. Now he goes on to say that he shall be a wild donkey of a man. Basically, this is a different kind of character, different type of person. His hand is going to be against everyone. His different personality just because of the nature of being Egyptian and being lost, and he will dwell against his own kins. You know, that's a hard way of saying even his own family will be in trouble. That's why you need to reach them with God and show them who God is. So she called on the name of the Lord and spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. If you have been unjustly treated, the secret is to always know that God sees the injustice. And God's going to deal with it. Truly, I've seen him who looks after me. Whatever injustice has been caused upon you, whatever thing, insult, or I'm on social media because I tweet and I'm on Instagram and everything else, there's a lot of stuff that has been said against me, accused me of, blogged about me, and it's fine because God sees it. And if it's true, then I need to repent. But if it's not true, that's not my problem. That's between you and God. Knowing to be walking with a righteous judge, that God is in control at the end. Therefore, the well was scored simply means this, the living God sees me. God sees me in the injustice being caused. Again, Hagar bore Abraham, and I'm close with this verse. Notice where it says, Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham called the name of his son, and Hagar bore Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old. This is, you remember when I used to tell you what the chiastic is? That the ancient manuscripts of Scripture don't have punctuation marks and periods and exclamation points. And the only way that they can make a point valid for people to understand it is to keep repeating things. And there are three things that are repeated here. Number one, Hagar, three times. Chiastic. It's making a point. Number two, Abraham. Number three, Ishmael. There's a fourth character who's missing. Sarai. The one who caused the injustice. And yet here God is saying, the God of righteousness, the God of justice, go back to your master, he says. Go back to your mistress. Submit to her. It's okay. I'll treat you that way because it's a safer way for you. Despite the fact that you're suffering, go back to her because at least your son will have food. And at least your son will have some semblance of order. At least your son and you will have protection. The wisdom of God. At the same time, God says, I will be just towards you. I'll be righteous. I know exactly what happened here. Sarai has been unjust, and I'm going to deal with her. God is a righteous judge. And how does that apply to you and me? Make no mistake about it. This is probably the scariest thing that I always face in my life. I did a word study some time ago about the word judge in the Bible. And it's scary. Study the word judge. The Bible says that God will send the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God is such a righteous judge. He sees through every hidden motive, every double talk, every lie, every wrong thought, every eye, everything that you looked at. He sees it all. And then he says this, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. But it's the same Holy Spirit who will counsel us and be our paraclete, the Greek word for lawyer, and come before that throne and say, this guy, for all his sin, has confessed the Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not any of my righteousness, not because I know so many Bible verses or I've raised the right children. It's because of what Jesus did for me that I can stand. This God who sees me, every sin, every infraction, every wrong, and yet chose to give me life, salvation, redemption, to pay for all my debts. He convicts me of sin, but he counsels me in righteousness to confess, I have been made whole. I am pure. By the way, if you don't do that every day, you should. Wake up every day. Stand before the throne of the very King of heaven. And say, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm saved by the righteousness that is in Christ, not on me. And despite all the judgment that I deserve, I have been forgiven. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. If you're here this morning and you've been unjustly treated, or you have unjustly treated others, this is a moment to come before the righteous judge. One, for those of you who have been unjustly treated, to just surrender to him and say, God, I submit to your throne, your righteousness, your timing, your ways. And if you're here and you've unjustly treated others, this is your moment to just say, God, forgive me for seeing myself higher, better than I ought, instead of considering others better than myself. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, the only one who can save you before the righteous judge of heaven, just simply pray to him and say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart this day. Save me from all my sins. And if you're just needing refreshing today, would you just lift up all your hands today? God, whatever category we are in today, we come before you, Jesus, Savior of the world, who cleanses us of all unrighteousness and sin, that we may freely walk. And Father, if we've been guilty of causing injustice to people around us, turn our hearts, open our eyes, take away the blinders, help us see the lost, help us see how valuable they are, and help us see, Lord, that we can move them one step closer to you every day of our lives. Would you just lay hands in your hearts this morning? Seal these truths in our hearts, Holy Spirit, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.